Hey everyone, I'm your host, Stanley Genetic, and welcome to the Landscape Disruptors podcast. Landscape Disruptors is a platform that showcases top performers in the landscape and snow industry and discusses all things related to business and beyond. This is a platform for sharing advice that relates to helping landscapers build successful and well-planned out businesses of their own. Viewers can expect a variety of guest experts to talk about all functions related to business, including sales, marketing, making better equipment decisions, and a variety of other topics that will help you be a more efficient and more profitable landscape company. You can learn more about our free content at landscapedisruptors.com. Before I intro our guest today, I want to give a big shout out to LMN Software. They're the ones that are making this happen. I've personally been using their software in my own company for the last year, and it's a complete game changer for my business. LMN is the most comprehensive landscape business management software in the industry, from budgeting, estimating, customer relationship management, time tracking, and so much more. It's the true do-it-all tool for your landscape business and provides a platform to scale your company to the next level. And the best part about LMN is they have a free version which you can begin using today. Just visit golmn.com/disruptors to learn more and start taking advantage of the software that's helped me grow my business into a successful, sustainable, and profitable company. That's golmn.com/disruptors. Welcome back, you guys. Today, we've got Corey Ballard, and there's some stuff you don't know about him. First off, some of you don't know him at all. But let me tell you a little bit about him. He started from scratch a company that he now calls Perfect Cuts. Perfect Cut has no S on it. He now has 165 guys, sometimes 170, running his lawn care company. And some of you guys, oh, that's impressive. No, that's not the story. That's just to let you know who we're talking about. Corey Ballard then invented, him and his dad, invented things to help him run his lawn care business more efficiently. How many patents do you have, Corey?
We just have a few now. We don't do as many patents anymore just because they're tough to defend. And so we really focus on just trying to create the best products we can and get them to market and show people how they work in the business. So I don't do patents as much as I used to because I've lost a couple, unfortunately lost a couple cases, and I'm a little bit frustrated with that
problem. but you started to invent these products for yourself. And now you sell your products that you invented to use in your own business to other people. And then you've decided that not only were you going to sell your own stuff, but you were going to take other really good stuff that you found out there that other people had perfected the process and sell that as well. And you, while still running a 165 person lawn care operation, you launched a landscape distribution or online landscape distribution company that's now going to break $10 million in sales simultaneously while doing all of this.
Yeah, correct. I mean, we've been doing the accessory business for a long time, but about 4 or 5 years ago, I was kind of at a brink where I thought, you know, I knew we had good products and I knew the market was growing, but it was kind of a little bit before social media was really going crazy and we were going to trade shows and running ads and publications, you know, trade publications. And I was at a kind of a brink where I was either going to shut it down. It was kind of a hobby business. And I had one sales guy and one warehouse guy, and it was kind of a hobby. And I said, I'm either going to shut it down or I'm going to focus on it. And at that point, we started doing some social media and started making some nice videos and really showing people how products work and how we use them every day in our business. And once I started doing that, we got a ton of traction. And once I realized that we had a lot of growth opportunity there, I stepped away from the day-to-day at Perfect Cut about 2 years ago so I could solely focus on this business. And I've got a business partner now at Perfect Cut who runs the day-to-day. And we've got three locations, and we can maybe get into that if you'd like to. But
actually, you are like 15 minutes ahead of the game right now, Corey.
Sorry. Well, I'll let you.
All right. I want to hear from scratch. We'll get to this. I promise you guys we will get to this part. I want to hear how you start a Perfect Cut from scratch to where you're at right now, and then how that rolled into this.
Sure. So, you know, I was 14 and a half, and these new mopeds came out that I wanted, and they were super expensive. And I told my dad I wanted one. And in the, at the time, I think they were about $1,300. It's called a YSR. It's like a little mini, you know, ninja or crotch rocket, if you will. And my dad said, well, you better get a job. And so I started going door to door and knocking on doors. And I ended up picking up about 12 or 14 lawns in the neighborhood and used my dad's snapper push mower. And so I got some, you know, I got some lawns. I must have been fairly convincing. And by the time I was 16, I bought a 36-inch lawnmower, and I had about 30 accounts, and I was mowing at night and on weekends and after school. And by the time I was a senior in high school, you know, fast forward just a little bit, I had a couple mowing crews, and I had guys that were out of school working for me while I was in school. And I, there was a work program or a school program that let me out at noon. So, you know, I was just hustling. Our city was growing. My mom owned a sanitation company, knew a lot of people. And so we just got out there and hustled, and I knocked on every door and talked to everybody I could. And you know, one crew led to two crews. And, you know, I really didn't know what my path was going to be. I didn't know that this is what I wanted to do long term. I knew I didn't want to work for anybody else, but I still wasn't positive, you know, that I could make a living, you know, cutting grass. And that's kind of how it started. But it certainly was nice to have everybody else was, you know, working at fast food places, didn't have any money. And I'm out there hustling and making, you know, I was making great money as a 17, 18, 19 year old kid. And
like what kind of money?
You know, several thousand dollars a week. You know, I was, you know, and I had, you know, a teacher, and I've told this story a lot on podcasts in different places, but a teacher said, hey, you know, hey, Corey, if you don't pay attention, you're going to be mowing yards your whole life. And I can tell you that I carried that chip on my shoulder. Well, I must still carry it because I still talk about it. And I was, you know, offended at the time, but I thought, you know, I'll show him. And the truth is, you know, he may or may not have any idea how far I took it or where it's at today. But
that was probably one of the most powerful statements that anybody could have ever said to you. Some people need to be bitch slapped in the face to have that chip on their shoulder to get to spur them to do what they did. If that same teacher would have said, oh, Corey, you can't do anything wrong, you would have probably led down maybe a different path than where you're at right now, right?
Absolutely. It was something that I held, again, I've held it for, you know, 25 years now of, you know, if you don't pay attention, you're going to mow yards your whole life. And I, you know, I just was motivated to prove people wrong. I was super I'm willing to put the work in and day out. And I knew that if I just worked harder than everybody else, that's kind of always been my motto. I'll just outwork you. I might not be the smartest guy, but I'm just going to outwork you. And when you're going to the beach or when you're taking vacation, I'm just going to keep grinding. And, you know, that just led to a lot of opportunity. And we just kept growing Perfect Cut. And I don't know if I could do it again today. I had no fear. I had no worry of failure, or I didn't completely understand the financials, which is a lot. You know, we talk a lot about that now today, but I didn't know the financials. I just knew we had work and I was going to get it done. But we kept our costs fairly low. I bought used trucks. I bought used mowers. They were junk. We were working on them constantly, trying to keep stuff running. You know, and it just grew to, you know, I remember sitting around thinking, you know, maybe someday I'm going to have 20 guys or 30 guys. And we just kept hiring great people. And I was fortunate enough to, my dad was a factory worker and they went on strike. So my dad joined me and he was a really good mechanic. So he kept the equipment running. And then a friend from high school, I got him to join me and he was a great sales guy. And Matt today is now a partner of mine. It took a long time to get there, but Matt was a great sales guy. And we just had the same core values. We had the same work ethic and we just worked sun up to sundown for minimal pay for a lot of years. And it took a long time to get.
What were the years? You're 16. Where were you at when you were 20? When you were 18, 19, 20, you got out of high school. Did business explode or did it still just steady grow?
We were doubling about every year. So by the time I was about 23 or 4, you know, we were doing $4 or $5 million a year, which was an interesting time in my life because I felt like, you know, ego kicks in and cockiness and some arrogance. And I was young and thinking we were making all kinds of money. And the truth is I didn't know because I wasn't following the financials very well. And, But yeah, we just kept growing the company and hiring great people, and we seized on opportunities every time we had a chance. It's like, okay, our customers are saying, why can't you guys do my irrigation? And I'm like, well, I'm going to hire an irrigation tech. And we were subbing out all of our, you know, lawn fertilization. Well,
what was the biggest mistake you made in those early years?
Probably not working on the back end of the business as much as we were working on the front end. So we were really good in the field, and we were really good at selling work and getting work done. We were terrible at billing. We were terrible at collecting. We had no software in place. I was doing route sheets by hand. Of course, the software, you know, that today there's so many, great, awesome software that'll help run your business. Back then, I'm doing everything by hand. So we were really bad on the back end. We weren't collecting our money. We weren't billing on time. It was just kind of, there was receipts in the trucks and the shoved in.
It was the disorganized chaos that almost every contractor, that takes down almost every contractor. Corey, I'm going to tell you, this is a conversation that I've interviewed so many people and the story doesn't change. You know, you've got a desire, you got a passion, you get the skills to complete them, you learn how to do that, but they don't concentrate on the business end of it, which is the make or break it.
Yeah, and that's where we weren't very good, and we had to take a deep look at that, and we hired an office manager and started trying to get the back end systems to catch up, and to be honest, they didn't for a long time. We were bad. We were doing $10-12 million a year, and we were still bad at billing, still bad at collecting, and we really had to kind of tap the brakes and figure out what do we need to do to catch our systems up to the ability to sell, because we could outsell what we were, our ability to handle it on the back end side. So I think that was something that I encourage companies today when I talk to them, is get those systems in place while you're small, because then it's easier. When you're big and you go back in and you try to put employee handbooks together and pricing structures and billing and collecting and payables and all the things that you need to do, It was a struggle. It took a long time. And to be honest, we were a little bit of luck in there that we were able to get through some of those.
No luck, Corey.
Well, maybe not luck.
It's determination.
Yeah.
But stubbornness. You were too stupid to stop. You were too stubborn to stop. You weren't going to stop. You could have a brick wall in front of you. If I know you well enough, and if you are like me, it doesn't matter what you put in front of me, I am going to either go around it, I'm going to go over it, or the last fucking thing I'm going to do, and it's going to happen, is I'm going to go right straight through the middle of it, but you are not going to stop me.
Right. And that's how we felt. And that's exactly how we felt. We knew that we could outwork everybody, and we just kept hustling. We've never been satisfied. You know, we've never been complacent. We're still hunting today. We're hunting new counts constantly. We opened up two different other branches in different markets. And so we're always trying to grow the company. We're always trying to improve. You know, on the outside, it looks like we have it all together, but on the inside, we're still constantly evolving as a company, trying to hire the best people that we can and empower them to make decisions. And that's allowed me a lot of, freedom and flexibility to pursue some other things that I really enjoy. And, but it's been a long journey, certainly. And, we've had some ups and downs. 2009 and 10 was really tough for us when the economy was kind of crashing, I guess you'd say. Mm-hmm. We were in kind of a recession. recession. And we had a lot of money owed to us. And because we weren't collecting our money, we had a lot of money owed to us. And these companies closed down. And it was scary. We had a great company, great employees, great clients, and no cash. And that was a wake-up call. It's probably the best thing that ever happened to us. We actually sat down with the bankruptcy attorney and it was really humbling. You know, here we are sitting with this company, I think at the time, maybe doing $12 or $13 million, and we had no cash because we were extending line of credits to these builders. And then all of a sudden these builders closed their door, and this builder owes us $150,000. This builder owes us $250,000. And we had a period of 2 years that we didn't collect over $1 million. And it was tough. And then when you start writing checks, personal checks to cover payroll on Friday, those are tough, Those are tough days. And again, best thing that ever happened to us, but it was certainly scary. And I remember sitting in that attorney's office and he's telling me that, you know, we weren't going to file bankruptcy for sure. But I'm like, what happens if we run out of cash? I mean, what does this look like? And he walked me through everything. We left that meeting and said, no freaking way. Let's get back in. Let's work. Let's dig ourselves out. Let's put some personal money back in the company. Let's just dig out of this hole. And it took us about 18 months. We completely just revitalized everything. We changed our business model. We changed the type of customers we were doing work for. We changed, you know, just some of the things. We just no longer allowed people to get to 90 and 120 and owe us all this money. We really started focusing on what we needed to focus on. And that was a huge game changer for us.
Oh, wow. Wow. See, I never knew that. I didn't know that. I didn't know you were doing a $13, $14 million company consistently growing, but we're completely cash poor and looking at, crap, do we have to close the doors? I mean, every company, you know, faces hurdles and challenges. And, you know, do you tell that story much?
You know, I have a few times. You know, when we did 10 million one year, we broke even. And then I think the next year we lost a little bit of money. And here we are doing all this volume and we weren't making money. And you know, and because we were getting a little bit too big, too fast. Yep. We didn't have some systems in place. We had stuff insured we didn't own anymore. We had cell phones that people still had that didn't work for us anymore. We weren't watching the numbers. We were just, you know, we had this belief that if we just got all the work done, everything would kind of work itself out. But the numbers got too big. And when you're not collecting your money, you know, you run out of cash. And it was a very, it was a tough time, but I'm glad that we did it. It taught me a lot. I brought a business mentor in and he had owned some banks, and we brought him in as kind of a temporary CFO. And boy, I learned more from that guy.
Did you have to pay him?
I did. We paid him, but he worked for much less than he was worth because he was retired, and we had a mutual friend. And he said, you know, we just walked through the financials. We started understanding the numbers. We started understanding, where are we making money? Where are we not making money? Who do we want to be? Who's our core client? You know, what's this business model look like today? What's it going to look like in 24 months, 36 months? And we started really just changing what we were doing. And at that point, we also started focusing a lot more on our snow removal. We looked at our snow and said, snow is our most profitable division, yet yet we're just doing it to keep our guys busy. So we completely changed the focus on snow removal. And today, snow is our largest division and our most profitable. And so we just changed our business model. We quit doing work for all these builders. We were doing all this new construction for new homes and apartments and HOAs and, you know, getting paid 120 days later. And we just changed the model. And when we did that, everything changed. And we were able to really get on track and get the business where it needed to be. And it didn't take very long. It's amazing how quickly you can get things straightened out when you're on the right track.
Well, it sounds like paying that mentor was probably one of the best investments you made into your business.
Absolutely. Personally and business. He taught me more in his one year because I needed somebody from the outside that had no skin in the game to tell me the truth. You know, everybody else was kind of had this ego, you know, and I'm doing, you know, X amount of $1 million, and I felt invincible. I was naive. Like, I can't fail. How could I possibly fail? Look at all the trucks I have, and look at all these people, and look at all these clients, and then look at my checking account. It's got zero. You know,
it's tough. Yes.
It was humbling, I can tell you, and it's the best thing that happened. We were able to get through that and really change the business.
Your ego was writing checks that your bank account couldn't cash.
100%, Stan. You couldn't. I mean, and ego does. It plays a big part. It's ego and pride. And we had to just get really honest and set our pride and our ego aside and say, who are we and where do we want to be? And because, you know, I'm unhirable. I've never worked for anybody else. And so I'm literally thinking about, man, what do I do? You know, at the time I'm 30 years old. I'm like, what do I do for? This is all I know. Do I start over? Do we reorg this thing? And you know, what does it look like? And you know, we we just got in the trenches and we just started grinding and working even harder than we'd worked in the past. And you know, getting rid of the bad clients and keeping the good clients and you know, just total game changer.
Did you work as hard? Do you work as hard now on the distribution company Ballard as you did on Perfect Cuts?
I do. I mean, I think that's the one thing that I've always done is I'm, you know, people ask me what the magic is or what the trick is. And there is no magic. What the deal is, it's consistency. I put the effort in 6 or 7 days a week, just day in and day out, over and over, year after year. And I'm a creature of habit. I like to be in routine. I make lists every single day of what I need.
I'm going to stop you right there because there's something you keep saying, and there's something I'm talking to the audience right now. There's something that you guys may or may not know about Corey, but he's not alone when he's doing this. The hardest working husband and wife team that I've ever met in my entire life is you and Lindsay.
Lindsay is a grinder. She probably still works. Last year, she was working 80 plus hours a week, and she still probably worked 60. When I fell asleep last night on a Sunday night, she was in bed with the laptop doing customer service. And it's important to have people around you, and not just her. I've got an incredible business partner, Matt Bowman, who runs the day-to-day at Perfect Cut. We have incredible people that are bought in. They believe in the company. We motivate them. We take great care of them. I couldn't do any of this alone. And you've got to have a team of people that believe in you and trust that you're going to be on the right track and that you're going to do what you say you're going to do and give them opportunity. And that's one of my favorite things about business. You know, I had a guy come up to me and say, "Hey, man, you know, for the first time ever, I've got, you know, Christmas tree, you know, my Christmas tree has presents underneath it." And I'm like, you know, and a guy comes up and said, "Hey, I just bought my first new house." And I mean, that's what I love. I love that I just love that, you know, give people the opportunity to better their lives. And that's one of my favorite parts of the entire thing is that, you know, we get to bring people along, but they're we couldn't do any of it without them. And we try to celebrate our people all the time. We just had a meeting last week. We celebrated people for how their tenure and how long they've been there and clapping and cheering. We bring the whole company together and we give awards for 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. And we've got one guy that's been with us 23 years now. And we celebrate our people all the time because, you know, without them, you know, we're nothing. And so, you know, it's hard to get good people. And when you get them, you've really got to figure out a way to keep them excited, keep them motivated and retain them because it's, but that's what, you know, I love the people aspect of it. And, you know, I love being able to provide for those people and they provide for me.
How long ago did you start Ballard Inc.?
So this is our 21st year in business. So, you know, the first product, you know,
not Perfect Cuts.
Yeah, Ballard.
Perfect. Ballard. You've been Ballard. In business 21 years?
Yeah. So we because the patent on the EasyGate just ran out last year and it was a 20-year patent. So that was the first product we patented. So we've had that company I've had that company for, you know, 20 years. So we were going to, you know, the trade shows and you know, we had two or three products. And
oh, holy crap. Corey, I thought this was just like 2 or 3 years and you blew it up to 10 million.
No, but we never did over about 400,000 or 500,000 a year. I had one sales guy and one kind of part-time warehouse guy. And it was just a hobby. It was kind of a hobby business. I enjoyed it. I got, you know, I went out to GIE and I had a booth and I'd go to some smaller trade shows and we'd run, you know, like I said, run some ads in Lawn and Landscape Magazine and a few of the other ones. And then, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I was at the cusp of I was either going to shut it down or I was going to focus on it because I was given half my effort to Perfect Cut and I was given half my effort to Ballard and it wasn't suiting either one of them the way I wanted it to. I wasn't happy. I didn't feel like I was adding value. And I had to make a tough decision and that was one of the best decisions I made. I had some hard conversations with Matt, my business partner. And I just said, "Matt, I think I want to step away. Do you want to run Perfect Cut?" And he absolutely did. He was ready for that opportunity and he's insanely talented and he's a brilliant guy. And I trust the people that we have. People say to me, "I can't believe you, how do you have a company that big and you're not down there every day running it?" Because we have great people and we have great systems in place today that we didn't have, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
Because you actually developed the business end of the business.
Right. It just took, we had to stop and we hired a COO and she spent about 4 years building all the back end stuff that we had slacked on for so many years, the process and the training videos, all the handbook, how do we hire, what's the orientation look like, and the entire A to B, how do we run this company? And we have a manual that we could hand somebody, and this is how Perfect Cut runs today. And basically, here's how you turn your computer on. You sit down, you hit this button. This is how everything we do flows. And when you do that, then you can start to scale the company, and give us opportunities to open in other branches because we had the systems in place and in other markets, I should say. And because the system is now outlined so well that we think we can replicate it over and over.
Well, are you going to expand Perfect Cut or focus on Ballard Inc. or both?
Well, I mean, Perfect Cut's still expanding. We're looking at other markets. It's still growing. So we've got some pretty big goals for Perfect Cut. You know, we'd like to be a regional or a national player. So we're going to continue to grow that company. And I'm going to continue to work on Ballard and see where that takes us. You know, I'm still a little bit blown away that, you know, how far Ballard's came in the last 3 years. You know, the traction that we've got with, you know, brand ambassadors and guys like you doing videos on YouTube and the amount of people that we've got in front of in the last, 24 months has completely changed the business. And
well, let's talk about that. Tell me about that process. What have you done to make that happen?
Yeah, so we've just, we've learned a lot on that as well. And I mentioned when you were here last week, good at developing products, good at selling products, underestimated the back end work, how much it would take on customer service and the shipping and logistics. There's just a lot going on the back end. So, we've continued to try to hire great people in this company to support my wife and I, because for a while it was just her and I. Just 2 years ago, it was her and I, and we were both boxing tape, and I'm doing the sales and social media. She's doing the bookkeeping and order processing, and, we couldn't take a vacation. And then when we did take a vacation, we were both on our laptops the entire time, so that was pointless.
But it was no vacation. Corey, you were working from a warmer place. Let's just get real.
That's all it was.
That's all you were doing. That's all you were doing. Come on, let's call it for what it is.
But
so this is 2 years ago. So but wait a minute. What were you? So this year you're going to break 13 million. Million.
Or 10 million for sure. I'm not sure.
Or 10 million. Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, 13 after we use the code.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. But no, 10 million. Where were you at a couple of years ago? Were you in the you couldn't have been anywhere.
In 2017 we did 65,000 in gross sales. So if that tells you, 2017 was 65, and then we went to about 400,000, and then 1.3, and then it just and then 5 million, 5.3 last year, and then we're looking at more than doubling this year. So it went fast. And that's a combination of our own products. It's a combination of teaming up with other companies that have great products that I think are innovative and useful in our industry.
Holy shit. Corey, you went from 65,000 5 years ago to over 10 million projected this year.
Correct.
That's an insane growth.
It is insane. It is insane. And, it's fun though. I'm excited about it. I'm having fun again, which for me, if you're praying for Fridays and hating Mondays, that's no fun. And I was there for a little while, and now I'm excited again. I feel like a little kid again. I look at every order that still comes in. I answer the phone when it's ringing. I answer a customer service questions and installation questions, and I'm having fun with it. And a lot of people are bringing great products to us now, which I'm having fun with too. Guys are saying, hey, I built this product for my own company. I don't know what to do with it. And I'm like, hey, send me one. I'm going to test it. If I think it has an application, we can do something with it. And so now we're just getting opportunity after opportunity to add new products. And, so I don't know where that's going to take us. What we're doing today is probably not sustainable much longer. I'm still, literally answering every Facebook, every Instagram question. You know, I'm still very, very involved. You know, even when I'm out of town, I'm on my phone constantly. If somebody's with me, they're like, I don't care how much money you make, that looks miserable. And I'm like, well, it is, you know, it's what we signed up for. And I'm willing to do the work 7 days a week from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed. And I enjoy it. And if you enjoy it, it just doesn't feel like work. I enjoy it and I'm having fun.
God, you're the third person today that said that. Well, no, wait a minute. I interviewed Wes from Pro Tree Outdoor. I interviewed Rick, who said the exact same thing. Wes said it and said it. You're the fourth person that said, if you really enjoy what you're doing, it doesn't feel like work. And I'm going to tell you, I can't argue with that point. It's so true. It's so true. It wakes you up in the morning, right, Corey?
Yep.
Your eyes pop open and you're excited. You're ready to go.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Right?
Actually, I've said a couple times that sleep almost seems like an inconvenience. I mean, it almost seems like an inconvenience to me. If I could run with no sleep, I would work. I'd work 24 hours a day if I could keep it up.
If I could too, I would. Yes. Oh my God, I love discovering a pattern, right? And because you know, what's the hidden secrets of success? Not a single person that I've talked to said, go to college. No, no, no. Go to work. Put your boots on. Sacrifice your time. Be willing to go the extra mile. That's what I keep hearing over and over again. And I know that. I know your story, Corey. I mean, I know the labor that you and your wife and your team put in. It's nuts. I mean, it's nuts. It's like, it's one of those things when I can see it from an outside perspective, like that guy you brought in that to help you kind of flip your company around, I can see where you guys are at right now. I will tell you, you guys have earned every single modem of success that you have. None of it was given to you. It's not handed you, here you go, Corey, you're just so special, I'm going to give you this success. No, you went out and took it. That's the difference. That's what makes guys act like you actually succeed, and the guys that want to be like you not succeed because they're not willing to sacrifice and do the things it takes to get to that point.
Yeah, exactly. And they're not willing to do it. You know, I was doing some consulting and I asked people, you know, would you rather be big or profitable? And one of the questions I asked is, what are you willing to do to get there? And most people, when I was doing consulting and I had to let a few guys go, or I should say, you know, just basically say, hey, this is not going to work out. You know, they're like, well, I'm not really willing to get there in the morning. I'm not willing to, you know, I really don't want to work weekends. And I'm like, I can't help you then, because what are you willing to do to be successful? And I find that a lot of guys want to work hard for 6 months, or they want to work hard. You know, everybody wants to get rich in 2 weeks. They want to get in shape in a month. You know, the reality is it's a freaking grind. I mean, and are you willing to do it, you know, for a long time, every single day?
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
But now you're giving back. You're taking your success and you're giving back. You're actually just recently, and it's still going on right now, the month of April 2021, you bought a trailer, you got an Exmark mower put on it, $13,000 mower, brand new trailer, Echo blowers, trimmers, you're putting this whole package together, and you're going to give someone this. It's like $19,000 and equipment. You're going to give them a plug and play setup to help someone realize their dream. Corey, that's huge.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I was thinking last year, you know, I've been very fortunate. I've obviously put the work in, but I thought, you know what, how do we give back and hopefully change somebody's life? And it started with, hey, I'll just give away a trailer. We'll put some racks on it. And then next thing you know, we got it with Exmark, and we're going to hopefully give somebody a very deserving person, male or female, a dream trailer set up with, you know, ready to go with everything that they need to run a small lawn care operation and hopefully change their life. And I'm really excited to see who ends up winning this and hear their story and, you know, again, go to the right person. And we're excited. I try to give back. I feel like the more I give, the more I get in return. And that's just always seemed to work for me. I believe in karma a little bit. And if you do good things, you know, usually get paid back in dividends.
One last question. What would you do different? If you could go back in time and talk to that kid in high school, what would you tell him?
What would I do different? You know, that's a tough one, Stan. I think I needed to do everything that I did to learn the things that I learned. And I, you know, I don't know that I would do a lot different. I certainly would have probably studied the numbers and understood the numbers a little bit when I was a little bit younger and not been so blind to the financial aspects of our business. I think I was so focused on growth because that was an ego thing for me. And I was trying to prove other people wrong and trying to show people, you know, how many trucks we had. And I kind of lost focus of, you know, the profitability and what really matters. And, you know, and I'll just be honest, you know, my ego was getting in the way for a while there, and I was kind of just an asshole, and I didn't like that guy. And, you know, and to be honest, I was drinking. I'm totally sober now. I don't drink anymore. And I felt like I had made it. And the truth is I hadn't made anything. I still had to get up every day and work for it. And I think my ego just got the best of me for a while in my 30s. And I really needed a reality check, and I wasn't being a good husband. I wasn't being a good father. I put business ahead of everything else, and I really changed my priorities. And when I did that, amazingly, guess what happened? My business just got better and better. I had to make some life changes to really be the person that I wanted to be. And I'm happier today, and I'm grateful. I'm more grateful today than I've ever been. And I just I love what we're doing, and I love the people that work with me. And you know, I want everybody to win. I'm competitive as it gets, but I want everybody to win. And people, I mean, I help people locally. I try to help anybody that I can, anytime I can. And I love that part of our business and our industry.
How can people find you, Corey? They tune into this and they want to go to your website or order. What do they do? Where do they go?
Yeah. So for the accessory line, it's ballard-inc.com. Of course, we have two Instagram accounts, only because I screwed that up and started one and I had to start another, but we had too many followers to cancel the first one. So there's two Instagram accounts. We have a Facebook account as well. We have a YouTube channel. So Ballard Inc. If you want to check out Perfect Cut, it's perfectcut.com, which is perfictcut.com. We got a great website. If you want to look at our website and see if there's anything that you want to do to make your website better, I think we have a website I'm really proud of that showcases our employees and some of the work and projects that we're doing. And so, yeah, you can find us anywhere on social media. We're pretty easy to find. If you type in Ballard, you'll find us for sure. And and guys send me a lot of questions and I try to answer and help them with their business anytime I can. And you know, I don't do the consulting anymore. I just try to help people when I can.
That's so awesome. Corey, thank you for coming on today. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for being very black and white about the struggle, because I think that's the most important thing. I think the struggle is more important than the success. And I think a lot of people don't want to share that. And I appreciate you being willing to do that. So thank you, Corey.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it.
All right, you guys, make sure you come back. We've got a lot of great guests and we've got more coming down the pipeline. God bless you guys. We'll catch you on another one. Go get them, you guys. Corey, I will catch up with you on another time.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it, sir.
All right. Thanks, guys, for tuning in today. And make sure you come back next week. We've got more expert landscape business advice coming down the pipeline. Once again, a huge shout out to LMN Software for sponsoring this podcast and making this all happen. LMN is the most comprehensive landscape business management software in the industry. It's the true do-it-all tool for your landscape business and provides a platform to scale your company to the next level. And the best part about LMN is they have a free version which you can begin using today. Just visit golmn.com/disruptors. You guys can start taking advantage of the software that I've been using to help me create a successful, sustainable, and profitable company. That's golmn.com/disruptors. Thanks again, everyone, and see you next week.